Good morning. Welcome to Worship Here at St. Marcus. I'm so glad you could join us this day. We are wrapping up the end of a short little four-week series as we're reflecting on some of the praise songs and hymns that we sing as a church. And so today we're going to be reflecting upon my favorite traditional hymn, Thy Strong Word. And then we'll be singing that later. But I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering who we belong to. And beginning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, and this incredible country in which we live. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us, Lord, especially this morning as we come into your presence to worship you. Send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we can give you the incredible praise and thanksgiving, Lord, that you so richly deserve for all that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July as well. This is the first reading, John 1, verses 1 through 14. My name is Josh Landgraf, one of your elders here at St. Mark's. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading for this morning is Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was an evening, and there was a morning, the first day. This is God's word for us today.
At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. All right. Hello. Good morning. All right. I would like you to raise your hand if you, at any point in your life, have ever been afraid of the dark. I get that. Yeah. Again, I'm raising my hand because that's true. I have been afraid of the dark. And it makes sense. You know, again, we're used to seeing everything with the light that we can see, and the light lets us know if there's something out there that could be concerning. Hello. Or as well, the light, when it's dark, you know, you might stumble over something or bump into something. And so it's understandable that when it's dark, that we get a little scared. We get a little concerned sometimes. And so our reading for today was all about how God, in the beginning, created everything. And the first thing that he said is there was darkness over everything, is he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And so one of the things, as I was reflecting upon our reading for today and wanting to talk to all of you, is with this idea of light, I was thinking about the chapel that we have here at our day school. And every time we have chapel, when the candles are lit, we always say, "Jesus is the light." So what does that mean to you, that Jesus is the light? Yes, what do you think?
Jesus guides us.
Jesus guides us, yeah. And protects us. Go ahead, Catherine. Jesus lights the path when we don't know where it is. Good. Yeah, what do you think?
I think he can protect us.
That Jesus can protect us? Good. Yes, what do you think? Do you forget? Your sister's trying to help you? Jesus guides us. Yeah, those are all good answers. So again, as we think about, it's really a metaphor. It's something that, you know, really helps guide us as we think about things. But Jesus being our light, he guides our way, he protects us, he loves us. And so all of this, as we think about darkness and how that's scary, Jesus is our light. And so he gives us encouragement, he protects us, he guides us in the right way to go. Is that a reason to be happy and rejoice? Is that a reason to trust Jesus? Absolutely. All right, so let's go ahead and pray. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our light. Please help us when times are difficult, and when they're scary, and when we don't know where to go. Help us to trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. If you are age 4 through 4th grade, you're invited to go to a little worship. I see the cross there that you can follow to go on a little worship. Thank you. Hi, you can go. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pets are awesome. Whether you're a dog person, a cat person, an iguana person, a fish person, whatever type of person you might be, typically there's at least one type of pet that even if you don't own any, you're still like, oh, I like the idea of having a pet. They're fun to play games with. Our cat intriguingly will play fetch. It's very rare. It's only on his terms. Like, he has to bring you the toy and say, hey, I want this. But either a jingly ball or a mouse, like, we'll throw it, he'll go get it and bring it back. We didn't train this because you can't train cats for anything. But, this is just the thing we have. You know, and dogs, lots of fun with playing catch and chasing and all those things. But there's something that I think, at least if you have a type of pet that's not kept in some kind of a terrarium or an aquarium, if you have the type of pet that's kind of free roaming, you've probably experienced in the night that ever wonderful experience where you're going and all of a sudden you step in it. And the it might vary. In our house, most often it's hairball, which is not pleasant, especially when you wake up in the night and you're like, oh, I need to get going. And like me, so I normally wear contacts, but I'm like, you know what? I can see well enough without my glasses. So I'm stumbling along and then I step in it and it's no fun. And what's really fun is when really what got you up in the first place was because your kids were calling out. So you're trying to go quickly without your glasses, fumbling about to get to your kids where you need to go, and then you step in it. And then as you're going, now you have that decision. Do I want to hobble the entire way to my kids because I don't want to, shift what I stepped into another place? Or do I hobble first to the bathroom because I want to wash this off, but my kids are crying out and I don't want to delay too long? Like, oh, sorry. If you've never experienced this, it's a joy and a treat, let me tell you. No, but anyway, this has unfortunately been more common than I'd like to admit experience for my life. And part of why I'm getting this is really thinking through, again, this contrast between light and darkness. And you have, again, in the darkness where you can't see very well, sometimes things get a little messy. The Bible begins where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning on the first day. And as you think about how many of us in this world function, the blessing that is light, as photons, I don't even get all the science, but it comes and enters your eyeball and suddenly you get this inverse picture, but then your brain scrambles it the right way and you make sense of all that is around you. And really, for all of us who do not have a visual impairment, how crucial is light to our existence, to what we are used to and what we know? And this is the very first thing that God spoke into being. And yet at the same time, this metaphor, this concept of the beauty of God creating light and contrasting with the darkness is used all throughout the scriptures. And so really in many ways of telling about the significance of who Jesus is, John picks this up in his gospel, where he also starts in a very similar way when he says, in the beginning. But the next words are not that God created, but rather, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was not made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. Now, the darkness has not overcome the light, which is the light of life of men. And it goes on to talk about how there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. And he came as a witness, to bear witness concerning this light that was the life of men, that all might believe through him. John himself was not the light, but he came to bear witness concerning about the light that which was the life of men. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and yet his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive this one who is the light, who is the life of men, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so as we reflect upon, as I said at the beginning of the service, this final hymn of our series, Thy Strong Word, this whole hymn is rich with this imagery of the contrast between the light which is of God and the darkness, that which is devoid of the action of God. And so it says, Thy, meaning of course God, God's strong word did cleave the darkness. At God's speaking, it was done. Therefore, for created light, we thank thee, God, while thine ordered seasons run. The next verse starts low. I'll be honest, I had to look up what the word low means. I've been singing the word low for my entire life, and just low is not something. So, I mean, if you're like me and not familiar, it means like look, behold, like look upon. All right, so low on those who dwelt in darkness. Look upon those who dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death. And here again, you get that rich imagery of the concept of to dwell in darkness is to dwell in death. That is, to walk without the life and light of God is to be the walking dead. And yet, despite this, therefore then broke the lights of God's salvation, and God breathed his own life, breathing breath. And it continues on saying, God's strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with his own holiness. Therefore, glorious now we press on toward glory, and our lives, our hopes confess. Continuing on to what John describes, how it is that Jesus is the light, the life of the world. It says, from the cross, God's wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. For in truth, what Jesus did on the cross, he conquered death, he conquered darkness, and brought forth the light, the life of God to all creation in that action. And all four of those verses end with, Alleluia, Alleluia, praise to thee who light dost send. Alleluia, 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 without end. And so in response to these truths, verse 5 says, give us lips to sing your glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. And at the end, verse 6 proclaims the truth about our triune God, saying, God the Father, light creator, to thee loud and honor be. To thee, that is Jesus, light of light, begotten, praise be sung eternally. And of course, Holy Spirit, the light revealer. We would not know about the light had it not been the Holy Spirit at work within us to reveal this light to us. Glory, glory be to thee. Mortals, angels, now and ever praise the Holy Trinity. So there is a problem, though. As Jesus says in John chapter 3, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And he says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it might be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And so the problem is that a people delighting in their own sin, delighting in their own claim that they have a right to do with themselves what they desire and can ignore that which the Creator has said they ought to do, even if it's to the detriment of the people around them, these people walk in darkness. They reject the light because the light exposes that which they do for what it is, and prefer to stay in a darkness that is death and is devoid of the life of God. And again, the appeal there is the belief, I am my own autonomous person. I can do what I want to with my own life, with my own things. Never really realizing, perceiving the hurt that that individual inflicts upon themselves. I'm sure you all know people that I'm talking about. And I'm not just talking about, well, those people out there who I have no relationship with. No, I'm talking about the people who you are close to and love, and no matter how much you talk to them, they just don't get it. And you can see how their own darkness shapes their very lives, not only impacting themselves, but impacting the people around them. As you look at them, you hurt because you love them. And you say, why, God? Why can this person just not see the truth of your light and your love and your life? And it can be tempting to think that the darkness is so strong that it could never possibly ever break. What hope can there be? But I want to read one more time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that made was that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We are to be a people of hope. Not because our hope or trust is in the individual for whom we look upon their darkness and say, oh man, this is bad. Our hope is not in that individual by themselves changing. But our hope is in the light, to whom shines out in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We are to be a people of hope because we know who it is that we have hope in. For we have a hope in a God who created all things, and a God who has redeemed all things, and a God who reveals and sanctifies all things. We have a hope in a God who can change hearts. And we get frustrated sometimes because God's timing is not our timing. But just because that timing has shifted from what we ourselves think ought to be does not mean that we should jettison our hope for the ones that we love who do not walk in the light. But instead, we are to pray, like Jesus says in the parable of the persistent widow. At the beginning of that parable, it says, Jesus told his disciples a parable because he wanted them to pray without ceasing, to never give up asking God for that which is good. And so you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray because your trust is in the one who listens. And even when the timing has not happened how you would desire it to be, still your hope is in the one who has all things in his hands, who I assure you cares so much more deeply for the one whom you love who is walking in darkness than you ever could. And the last thing I want to talk about with this beautiful imagery of light and darkness is how Jesus says to those who are listening, to his disciples who have come to him on the Sermon on the Mount, as he's proclaimed, this is the way that the kingdom of God works. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so forth. And he says to those who are his disciples, who are listening to him, who believe what his teachings are, and says, yes, I sign up with that guy. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a lamp and then hide it under a bowl. No, you put it up and it gives light to all around you. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. For you see, you have been endowed with the light of God. Not that the light originates in any way, shape, or form with you. But like Moses, seeing the glory of God go before him, and when he came down, his face shone with the light that was not his, but having received it from God, so you have received the light of life from your heavenly Father, from Jesus, who purchased and won you with his death on the cross. He extends that light to you that you might go out and shine that light to those who are walking in darkness, that they might see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So God, in his wisdom of how he has ordained things, enlists you into this job of being one who shares life. Again, a life that does not originate with you, but rather at the same time, God has poured out into you. Because the people walking in darkness need to see the great light that has come. So rejoice and have hope this day that the light of God has not been overcome by the darkness. Have hope that God will act, even in those areas where you say, God, please act here now. Do not give up on that prayer. But pray earnestly. And as you have opportunity in life, as you go out into the world, let the light of God shine forth from you. Not that your good deeds would give glory to you, but rather your good deeds would give glory to your Father who is in heaven, that those who are walking in darkness might know of the light, the life, and the love of God. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory to thee.
We now have the opportunity to confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much this day that that you have given us your word. Lord, that you created this world through your word, provide for all of our needs, put together all the systems that support our lives in this world. And Lord, when we fell into sin, that you sent your word into this world. Word became flesh to live among us and to die in our place so that we could live with you forever in heaven. Lord, I thank you for the promise that your word has given us, Lord, the promise that he is with us always and the promise that he will take us to be with himself so that we can be as we were created to be, living in perfect unity with you and with each other. Lord, we look forward to the day when your word is completely fulfilled. Lord, I pray that you would continue to care for each and every one of us in our congregation. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling and recovering. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with especially Kevin Ross as he has just received a new heart. That I just pray that you would continue to aid him in his recovery and bring him to full health so that he can return to the duties of his family. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all those, Lord, who have given us the freedoms, Lord, that we enjoy in our country, Lord. Those who were in the beginning who put the country together, those who have served us over the years, Lord, whether in politics and in military. Or just in acts of service, Lord, to continue to improve and protect the liberties that we have. Lord, I pray that you would continue to provide for your people, Lord, with good government. Help, Lord, or send your spirit, Lord, to work in the hearts of those who lead us, that their decisions may be pleasing to you, Lord, and that they would best serve the people that you love. Lord, all these things we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who are trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Christ the Lord.
My dear friends, our God is faithful, and once again, he has come to us in this incredible blessing of his meal. His body and blood we have received, and through that body and blood and through the faith that the Spirit gives us, we receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Knowing that our God is true to his word, knowing that he never fails, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Have a seat, my friends. First of all, we have a sermon series coming up for the next 4 weeks. Pastor Josh and I are going to be we're going to be talking about prayer. All right, and so please, definitely, you want to be here for that. Let's see here. There's another thing. No Sunday school or Bible study today because of the holiday. And then I want to invite Jill Tendler to come forward at this time.
Good morning. Thanks for giving me a minute. God bless America. God bless our military and our veterans. So in the spirit of continuing our Independence Day celebration, our military ministry, Operation Barnabas, would like to invite you to join us for refreshments. We have a table set up in the back, and of course, I'm Barnabas bucket will be there just in case. So please join us, and thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate your generosity and loyalty to our military ministry. Thanks.
And with that, my friends, God's blessings on your week. I hope you enjoyed the celebration of the 4th of July with all your with your family and such. And just remember, though, our real Independence Day is every single Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and anticipate, look forward to the day when we will finally be completely free in his presence. God's blessings on your week. Oh, Camilla's, is that Monday? Is that tomorrow? Oh, wow. Don't forget, Camilla's tomorrow then. We'll be raising money for our friends in Guatemala.